confession. Christianity is known as the Great Confession, isn't it? If we go to Hebrews 3:1, it says this, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession or profession, Jesus Christ." In Hebrews 4:14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or confession." Now, to hold fast means to stay committed to our confession or our profession of faith. Well, you say, well, yeah, that's straightforward enough. We do that. Well, this is what I want to examine. Because you see, what happens in the course of life is the course of a day, let's say. You can start off well, and then something happens, something goes wrong, the day goes on, our bodies get tired, our minds become tired. If we're not careful, what happens is we drop our guard, and before we know it, what we're doing is we start speaking the words that the scriptures tell us not to speak. So, for example, the scriptures tell us to hold to our confession. We've just read it, haven't we? Well, it's okay reading it. What does it mean? Well, what it means is that when we get tired, and when the day is going on, and when we feel frustrated, when things have gone against us, that's the very time when the fight ought to kick in and we ought to hold to our confession. Anyone can hold when the day starts off, everything's fine, we've just read the scriptures or whatever it might be, everything's going well and we're holding to our confession. Of course we are. But when things get difficult, when people get frustrating, when things aren't going our way, that's the time that we've got to be disciplined and say, no, I'm going to hold to my confession. It's a fight. It doesn't come natural. What comes natural is frustration and outbursts. That's the natural fleshy response. I'm talking from experience. And what I've realized is that we have to be disciplined. Jesus has called us to be disciplined. He called those who followed him disciples. The word disciples comes from that word discipline. And the discipline of the faith involves our confession. To hold fast means to fully be committed to our profession. Fully committed to, not partway committed, but laying hold of. The New Testament tells us an interesting thing. It says, and we can read from Matthew 11:12, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Don't let the word violent misunderstand you. It's not a negative connotation in this verse. What it's saying is the kingdom of heaven is taken violently. In other words, it's taken by an effort. It's not a sort of lackadaisical attitude or an easy come, easy go attitude. No, it doesn't happen that way. What happens is someone sees an opportunity to lay hold of the kingdom and they say, I want that kingdom. But it's not a natural thing. It's not an easy thing. It says, no, I'm going to lay hold of it. I want that. I must lay hold of that kingdom. And the natural person won't lay hold of it. The natural person doesn't gravitate that way. The natural person is easy come, easy go. But this is speaking of when John the Baptist came. You see, what would happen in those days, people would be baptized into that which they believed. So you could be baptized into a Greek philosopher. So Aristotle had people being baptized into Aristotle. Plato, people were baptized into Plato. Being baptized meant, I believe what you're saying. Now, wash me, and I'll show my commitment. That's what baptism meant. Of course, in the New Testament, we take it and it changes its meaning. But essentially, what they were saying was laying a commitment to. And John the Baptist's message was preparing the way for Jesus Christ. So from that time, people were laying hold of the kingdom. And there was a commitment, a strong commitment then to say, yes, I want this kingdom message. I want whatever this thing is. I want this. Tell me more. It takes an act of the will and a decisive act of the will. I have found personally that unless I lined up my confession with the Bible, I wouldn't be living the Christian life. It would be impossible. I found, in other words, that I must yield my mind to what the Bible says, but I must also thereafter yield my confession to what the Bible says. And unless I do, I won't be walking the faith life. I won't be walking in biblical Christianity. So it took an act of will to walk in biblical Christianity. Let me give you an example. Some of you have done this before, but listen, let's do it fresh. In your mind, I want you to think, I want you to count in your mind from 1 to 10. And I want you to count along this rhythm. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Are you with me? So we just count with that rhythm in your mind. We're going to start counting. You all with me? Some of you, are we going to count? Yeah. We're going to count. Okay. But in our minds, not out loud, in our minds. Here we go. Let's begin. Say Jesus. What happens to the counting? The counting stops. Because the spoken word overpowers the mind. The spoken word overrules the mind. Confession comes out of the mouth and it overrules that which is in the mind. So in the mind, the battle that we're in, this fight that we're in, has the enemy firing flaming arrows into the mind sometimes. It can be arrows of doubt. It can be doubt about things. You can doubt yourself, doubt things, all sorts of things. It's an arrow. It's in the mind. It's a flaming arrow. Or it could be deception. It could be false guilt. Could be any sort of thing, but it comes into the mind. It could be worry. Some people are just terrible worriers, always worrying about things. And it's an arrow, and it's in the mind. It's lodged in the mind. Well, how do you overcome that? By speaking out. And speaking out that which the Word declares to us. Because the Word is authoritative. The Word of God is a covenant. The new covenant of Jesus Christ. And because it's a covenant, it's very powerful. This is a covenant that was cut with His blood. So it's a blood covenant for you and I. And for us to enter into the power of that covenant, What we need to do is start to speak out those things that the covenant speaks of. Sometimes thinking those things is good, yes, but sometimes the battle is in the mind. And really what we've got to do is speak it out, because what we speak out dominates the thinking. Is that making sense? This is something that we have to really revisit as a foundation of our Christian lives. Christianity is known as the Great Confession. Now, when it says confession, of course, there's different types of confession. It's talking about confession as in the original, in the main, where it's talking about confession. It's talking up there about the priest's ability to forgive or not to forgive sins, which is where the Catholic Church has their doctrine from, which is scriptural. But we're not talking about that this morning. What we're talking about this morning is our personal confession in line with the scriptures. We sang a song at the start, didn't we? Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Let them say it. If we go to Mark 11, come with me to Mark 11 in the just to give the story here, Jesus passes by a fig tree, verse 14, it says that Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee from now on. And his disciples heard it. So he cursed the fig tree because there wasn't any fruit on it. And in verse 23, it says this, because they passed the tree the next day and they said, well, it's withered to the roots. So Jesus cursed it and it was withered to the roots. The disciples saw it. They thought, what a peculiar thing. Jesus' words caused this tree to be withered to the roots. Let's go to verse 22. Jesus answered, said to them, have faith in God. Very interesting. They point out that this tree is withered to the roots. Jesus says to them, well, have faith in God. Well, what does he mean by that, given the context? There's a note in the King James Version which says, have the faith of God. It's a translation of the Greek. And, well, he explains it from verse 23. He says, for I say to you that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Well, Proverbs tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. So Jesus' words here echo what Proverbs is teaching us in its wisdom. He's saying that, look, when we speak to a mountain and we believe that our words carry an authority, that mountain can be moved. Well, we saw, didn't we, just now in the example, that our words dominated our thoughts. Didn't we? We just saw that, didn't we? Our words overruled our thinking. Well, Jesus is saying something even more powerful here. Not only overruling our thinking, but overruling physical things. Having an ability to impact into the physical universe. Well, have you ever had an opportunity for that to happen in your life? Have you seen that happening? I've had many. But those testimonies have come because, first of all, I saw it in the scripture. I saw the words of Jesus. Now, if I'm following Jesus, I have to take these words seriously. I mean, it's utter delusion for us to say that we're following Jesus and not to take these words seriously. To, you know, put them into a context or something that allows us not to apply those words is nonsense. It's ridiculous. These words demand that we take them seriously. They encourage us to say, come on, take these words seriously. See what I can do. Why? Because Jesus loves us so much. He loves you so much. He wants the best for you. He loves you so much. You're so precious to him. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, he looks at you and he sees a precious child. And because of that great love, he gives us this great opportunity. He's telling the disciples what can happen if they speak and if they believe. This is really something. I mean, friends, I really want us to get a hold of this as a church so that instead of then during the week, when difficult things happen, when there's difficult situations coming up, we get out of what we're used to in our speaking and we change. We make a definite change and say, no, I'm not going to be linked into this old pattern of thinking and speaking. I want to be fresh. I want to have a biblical way of thinking and speaking. You know, people say things such as, I'll never do that. Never works out for me. I'm so unlucky. I just have to look at food and I gain weight. You hear people say, some people have, you know, well, it's not the truth. And Jesus also says, and listen to this, again, we're followers of Jesus. Jesus says this, he says, listen, he says, you're going to have to give an account for every idle word. One day, you and I will have to give an account for every idle word that we've spoken. I mean, that's something, isn't it? Every idle word? What's an idle word? An idle word is a word that doesn't produce. It's idle. If you have an idle child, the child isn't doing anything. He's idle. We're meant to produce. Our words are meant to produce. They're not meant to be idle. They're meant to produce, whether it's encouragement for someone else or whatever it is. But here we have Jesus' testimony to us that our words can move mountains. Does that get you excited? Well, I'm going to tell you, I've just been editing a book, and I've been reflecting back on this during the week. And it's really something, you know, when I first came to understand these truths, I realized that for my life, I thought to myself, could this really be, Lord? I mean, I was a theological graduate. I'd studied formal theology. How could I possibly now be thinking that I could speak to mountains and mountains could move? I had to leave all that I learned behind. Pretty much all of it. In order to embrace the truth of the scripture, because it's too simplistic. It appears too simple. It's the sort of thing that a child might believe. Yes, absolutely. And then we start to understand something about the kingdom. I mean, things such as, I have so many testimonies about this, some of the dramatic testimonies. One of the first testimonies, I think, which is so close to my heart, was when I was driving in Wales with my parents, and I was looking for the first house that Micah and I might buy. And I had a business in Wales, and I had a unit, an industrial unit. And so I wanted to have a house close to this industrial unit. And so I was looking around the Welsh countryside, and there was a few houses on our list, and I was driving my parents around. And my mum and dad really enjoyed that, you know, visiting these houses, and we'll see which one we're going to buy. And we drove around, and we came to the last house of the day. It was starting to get dark. Well, we looked at the house, we came back into the car, and I knew that I had been driving the car on empty for a good while. But there aren't that many petrol stations in Wales in the countryside. You just don't pass them that often. And it had been on empty, and sure enough, I get in the car and I turn the ignition and the car won't start. And it's making that funny noise. You know, when the car is out of fuel, it makes a certain noise. The car was out of fuel. Well, my dad was sitting in the back of the car. I don't know what you're like with your dad possibly, but for me, that was a cringe moment. My dad doesn't like that sort of thing. No, he wouldn't be impressed by that. And, you know, I said, well, he said, the car's out of petrol. Incredulous. Totally incredulous he was. And understandable. I said, well, I'm sorry. Yes, the car's out of petrol, Mum and Dad. I'm very sorry. I forgot. And I got too excited with the houses that we're looking at. And I wasn't thinking straight. And I'm so sorry, I haven't filled it up. It's just really, but I said, I tell you what I'm going to do. Now, this was just after I learned this truth. I said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I said, and you won't perhaps understand, but my parents weren't Christians at this point. And I said, but please, just go with me. I said, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to do something. And I could see my dad and mum in the back of the car. They were really, you know, quite flustered and quite concerned. But I said, just trust me. I said, just please. So I said, Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for not being more diligent. Please forgive my lack of diligence. I'm sorry. I should have put petrol in the car. I'm sorry, Lord. And then I said this, based on this scripture, I said, petrol, I command you to enter into this car in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What would they have thought in the theological college? Now, that would have been a PhD for someone. We'd have been in the realms of quantum physics. And it was really amazing. Because when we allow, you see, the Word of God to dominate our thinking, rather than what usually happens is our thinking dominates the Word of God. So often we've got it the wrong way round. But when we get it the right way round, and God's Word is put first, and God's Word is authoritative, that's when there's power. So I turned the engine on the car, and the car just started up. And we drove many, many miles till we found the next petrol garage. And I did stop at the next petrol garage because we mustn't take the things of God for granted. But you see, when we're in a difficult situation and we apply this, if a mountain needs to be moved, if you've got faith, you could move a mountain. And really, whatever that mountain is, we could talk until all week about the examples. And some of you know some of the examples, and I know that there's plenty of examples in this fellowship of similar things. But I want us to really encourage ourselves with this morning, that we must yield our thinking to the Word of God and then be disciplined in our speaking. Because we have to give an account for every idle word that's said. So our words should be productive. The Bible talks about the sort of words that we should have with one another. Those words towards one another in the fellowship should be words of encouragement, shouldn't they? They should be building each other up. And psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs should be said to one another. See, those are building words. What we're talking about is the miraculous here. Just as real for those who can believe. The question is, can people believe? Will they believe? If you try to get there with your intellect, you will fail. This is not an intellectual thing. This is the supernatural, not the natural. The natural realm is down here. The supernatural realm is a higher realm. It's a higher reality. And for those of us who have faith enough to say, look, I'm not going to go with this realm. I'm going to go with this realm. It's a great choice. We enter into the adventures of faith. So the opportunity that God is giving us this morning is to say, look, let's stop the way that we talk. Let's just stop and examine ourselves. The Bible says that we should walk circumspectly. The word circumspection, it means, you know, that we need to be aware and be aware of what's going on and have a circumspectness about what's happening in our lives. Examining the words that we speak. A good way of illustrating this, again, I was reflecting in the week as I'm editing this book, and I remember the lady that I met in Wales on a hot summer's day. And as I was thinking on this, the ice cream van drove down our street, and I heard the bell, you know, ringing, and I thought, that'd be nice. And it took me back to this example of down in southwest Wales in the Pembrey Country Park. And it was a hot summer's day, and I thought, that'll be nice, I'll have an ice cream. And I went for an ice cream, and they had just invented the new soft Cornetto ice creams. Has anyone tried those soft Cornetto ice creams? Well, they're very nice. And I went in and I said, oh, you've got soft Cornetto, please, a soft Cornetto for me. And the lady came up to me and she said, and I gave her the £5. She said, I'm terrible at counting. She said, and she didn't know what she was doing. She was an elderly lady, not that old really, but I mean, she was, you know, and she was just lacked confidence or whatever. And she went round and she put the fiver there. She was trying to get the change sorted out. And she gave me the change, and the change was wrong. And then she said, I'm no good at this machine. And she went over and she did the Cornetto, the soft Cornetto. It was all lopsided. And I said, I said, your words have been proved true. I said, you've given me the wrong change. And look how this is lopsided. I said, don't you know? I said, you are good at things. I said, you can do things. I said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I said, if they rolled all of the biggest computers on planet Earth together, the great science of NASA and all the rest of it rolled into one great big computer, it would pale into insignificance compared to you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's creation. I say, you can do all things if you just put your mind to it. My Bible tells me. And I went into my little gospel message for her and for the other people in the queue. Well, I tell you the truth, they were really encouraging. They were really happy with what I said to her. They were saying, yes, you can, you can. God bless her. Why was she like that? Well, she was like that because probably she'd been spoken negatively to all her life. Probably she hadn't had encouragement. Probably she was a beaten down woman. She hadn't had anyone telling her, look, the great potential of God is there in you. If you just come alive with Jesus, you could do anything. And that's what she needed to hear. So she was speaking negatively. That was the words of her mouth, were negative words, and they were proved with her life. She gave me the wrong change, the wrong ice cream shape. What I'm saying is this, what are you speaking? Don't put those limits on yourself. Don't say, I can't do it, I'm no good, I'm not this. Don't say those words over yourself. The Bible says that we who own the name of Jesus, we who are believers, have now entered into his family. It says in Romans 5:17 that we are to reign in life through one Jesus Christ. He's called us to reign. Can you picture Queen Elizabeth? Our queen, she reigns, doesn't she? And she has a pretty buoyant attitude, I think, in the main. It's a very difficult job she's got, but she seems to be very buoyant. She seems to have a tremendous faith from the Christian, from the Christmas messages that I've listened to. She has a faith there. But she reigns. I can't picture her speaking negative words over herself. It just doesn't fit. I think that she would be speaking positive and uplifting and words that could be building people and building herself, because she reigns in life in a real way, in a physical way. The way that we're meant to reign in life is in an equally, in fact, in more so real way, because it's the supernatural reigning in life. Not on the natural level, but on that supernatural level. How do we do it? Well, speaking words. Examining the words that we say and causing our words to be in line with what the scriptures teach. So that our confession is right. So that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. If you examine the New Testament, you find that the words of the New Testament are always telling us what we can do. They're always positive. They're always uplifting. They're always increasing us. They're never pulling us down. And the Holy Spirit inside always is confirming those words. He wants us to think these things of ourselves. So if you fail in something in life, don't speak, oh, I'm no good, I can't do it, I'm useless. Don't say those words. Say, I'm getting better at this in Jesus' name. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And speak those words and confess those words and cause those words to come to life. So, brothers and sisters, my encouragement for this morning is that we speak these sorts of words. It says, and I'm going to close with this, from 1 Timothy 6. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, and to which you are called, having made a good profession before many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Let's examine our words and let's speak the words that God has given us to speak. Words that will build us, words that will call us to be victorious, and words that will shape our future of victory. Our words shape our future. So let's stand together as we close in a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the truth of the Word of God. We thank you for the truth of Scripture about words, about our words, about the testimony of our lips. And I ask, Father, that what has been spoken in this place and what has been sung in this place this morning will continue to minister to us throughout this day. And I ask that, Father God, you would speak to our hearts now by the power of the Holy Spirit, that, Father, we could decide to make a change, that we could decide not to speak negative words out, but to speak encouraging words, to speak life-building words, to speak Bible-based words. Brothers and sisters, with every eye closed, no one looking around, if you want to respond to God and say, yes, that's for me, I'm going to make a change. I want to speak life-giving words. I'm going to make a change from this moment on by God's grace in the words that I speak. If that's you, please put your hand up and respond to God now. Praise God. Father God, you see our hands. You see us responding to you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you then in Jesus' name, please empower us by the Holy Spirit to employ words that will cause our faith to be built, our futures to be shaped, and the people around us to be encouraged. That, Father God, we would speak your life-giving, miracle-forming words. And that, Father Lord, we would be the people that are discipled by the Word of God, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, by the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning, and we commit ourselves to you then, in Jesus' holy and wonderful name. Amen. Praise God.